Breaking news in President Trump's address to the nation. The Obama administration helped Iran pay for the missiles that were used on the failed attack on U.S. troops last night.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Overnight, those 15 ballistic missiles fired from Iran towards that Iraqi military base that does house American troops. According to defense officials, 10 of the missiles did hit the intended target, one of them striking a base near the city of Erbil in northern Iraq.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
For far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Well, President Trump has just finished addressing the nation. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. And one of the best news to report out of that, and it was already kind of out in the news, but it was confirmed by the president this morning, was that there were no U.S. casualties. Even no one was harmed in this Iranian strike on these two U.S. bases inside Iraq, using, I think it was 15 ballistic missiles were fired. There's still information coming out about it, about two bases, but there were no American casualties, no Iraqi casualties. No one was even harmed. There were minimal damage to the base themselves. Iran, of course, is using this as a propaganda tool, but at the end of the day, if you fire 15 ballistic missiles at military bases and want to kill people, you can, generally, if you've made that decision. They obviously had made a decision that they didn't want to poke the giant too much, that they thought they had to do something in response to us killing Qassem Soleimani. So what they did was fire missiles that didn't do anything. But I thought what was interesting was how President Trump talked about how the Iranian nuclear deal is over. It's basically coming to an end, even though Iran's blustering about how they're pulling out. It's basically, we're at that end date. Can you believe that? We're already to that end date, almost. But also the idea of why Iran has these missiles to fire in the first place. Take a listen to President Trump this morning addressing the nation.
The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran.
We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Guess who was responsible, by the way, for those 1,500 people killed at those many protests throughout Iran? A protest against the regime that President Trump referenced. Qassem Soleimani and his forces, the Quds Force, would organize those killings of inside Iran, though he was mostly responsible for external actions inside Iran. There's also significance here that this strike by Iran, though completely, dangerous, because, again, you could try to say we're going to target but not hit anyone and maybe notify, the Iraqis that this is happening and notify, enough people where no one actually gets hurt. But it's very dangerous because, one inch off here, a little bit off here, and suddenly, war could start. This wasn't like targeted at one individual, but it was targeted at bases. But it didn't, ultimately, and the president's not rushing to strike back. So what are we seeing? The U.S. economy just started booming right after that speech. So you can take these hits in Iran. What does that show? That America is resilient, that we can take these necessary hits in Iran to show them who is boss, to show them who is the real superpower in the world. They can kind of, have their reaction. Everybody teeters on the edge. And then we're saying, hey, we're willing to work towards peace, work towards a solution. But we're not going to let you go nuclear. We're not going to let you get away with whatever you want. You've got to change paths. Now, we'll see what Iran's next response, if there is a next response, actually is. I think when you look at our own stock market, just jumping the way it has, it is great news that no Americans were harmed. We're taking your phone calls. We'll analyze it all. 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
You know, there were a few things unique about the Iranian response and this initial response to the U.S. taking out Qassem Soleimani, the nation's number one terrorist, Iran's number one terrorist, and really the world's number one state-sponsored terrorist. There was no one really in his position, no one else like him, who had the backing of a government to carry out terrorism around the world, to carry out instability and destabilizing actions around the world. And he's taken out. Iran said they're going to respond. Now, they respond by firing 15 missiles. Now, you think of that, hey, at a U.S. base. One, I want to go to Skip Ash on this, senior military analyst and attorney with the ACLJ. And Skip, one, it is unusual that Iran ever directly responds to U.S. action, especially with the military action, through its actual state entities and not by using some kind of proxy like Hezbollah.
Well, that's exactly right. They are masters at asymmetric warfare. They realize they can't meet us face-to-face on the battlefield. So they normally engage us indirectly through proxies. That's called asymmetric warfare. In this case, though, we had challenged the regime right at its roots. We had taken out this person who was very high in the regime, who answered only to the Ayatollah himself. And therefore, we have a situation where they could not afford to appear weak, because right now there's a movement afoot in their own country that is showing a great deal of unrest against the regime. They had to come across strong, or the whole regime would have been undermined.
And now we see, I want to get your reaction to this too as well. Iran, of course, blustering about this, a slap in the face of the U.S. I think it showed how weak they are. I mean, Skip, they want to fire these ballistic missiles at our troops. They could have killed U.S. troops if they wanted to. I mean, honestly, they probably could have. Now, we have defensive measures. Maybe we could have gotten troops out of the way, but they could have certainly inflicted more damage on the bases, too. But instead, they could have fired more than 15 missiles. But instead, it appears that they did it so intentionally. I think, you know, Iran's calling it a slap in the face. I think President Trump's right. It looks like we'll play it for people at the moment, standing down. But in fact, it was actually a very weak response to the United States taking out someone so high up in their military.
Absolutely. They realized the president was serious. They couldn't go beyond a certain level, or they were going to receive the wrath of God, so to speak, from the president. I think what we don't know yet, even the size of the warheads that were fired.
Right.
But I think they're telling their own people they inflicted at least 80 deaths on U.S. forces. So they're trying to lied to their own people that, yes, we did something significant. At the same time, they wanted to convey clearly to the President of the United States that this was a show of force for their own people and was not meant to inflict serious casualties on us.
And here's what President Trump said, and this is what sent the stock market soaring. I think the media got, you know, mainstream media so upset. They wanted to hear the president come out this morning. And listen, I get the urge to have the president come out this morning and say, you know what? You do this to Americans, even if no one's killed, we're going to strike back so hard. We're not going to tell you when. We're not going to tell you where. But going to hit you so hard, you may not exist the next day. I get that initial urge. But he's the president of the United States. He's got to take a lot of things into account, including regional stability, our allies Israel, and you know what Iran could be capable of if you don't go that far. So the stock market's surging. But listen to how President Trump interpreted. Now, this is the exact opposite of how the mainstream media tries to portray President Trump to you. Take a listen to his own words this morning addressing the nation after this attack.
Iran appears to be standing down, which is a good thing for all parties concerned and a very good thing for the world. No American or Iraqi lives were lost because of the precautions taken, the dispersal of forces, and an early warning system that worked very well.
So I want to go to Than Bennett right there, because Than, that's not the President Trump that the media portrays as someone who is rash, irrational, constantly looking to war or looking for distractions from impeachment trials that aren't even happening right now. So we're taking these decisions. It appears that this decision worked pretty well. Iran, as the president said, appears to be standing down. They got to fire their missiles back in like a response to the – but we are the ones who killed their top military commander. I mean, there's no one more important in their military structure when it comes to their international activities. We killed him, and their response was firing off missiles at us. That's not good, but it was firing off missiles at us that did no harm, that killed no one. And yet the response by the president, measured, looks like Iran's standing down. We're going to send a clear message to Iran. We're not going to allow you to behave this way. We're going to include NATO as well. But it's not the president that the media portrays.
Jordan, it's a measured response of restraint. And by the way, it's not the first time that he's done that. I think of the drone attacks that he also showed restraint after. But Jordan, here's what enables that response of restraint. It is the overwhelming and convincing display of willingness to use U.S. power if he has to that was demonstrated with the Soleimani attack. Jordan, that was the action that convinced the Iranians that he would do whatever he needed to do if they continued their provocation. Jordan, because he did that and the Iranians essentially did not respond on a significant level, he can come out and show restraint, and I think it's a good thing that he did.
Here's another interesting part. And it is the headline because I think it is a reminder of the mess that President Trump inherited still years into his presidency that he's dealing with. Why does Iran even have those ballistic missiles to fire at us even while their economy right now is in the gutter? And he announced that there would be more sanctions on Iran, more economic sanctions. It's tough to imagine what else we could sanction on Iran because we've sanctioned about all and their economy is almost non-existent. But he did give everybody a reminder about why Iran had this boost in their international activities. Why did Qassem Soleimani suddenly have so many new resources to kind of play with around the world and cause these destabilizing and the instability and new terror groups and new battles and new Shia militia groups? Why did these ballistic missiles, why did Iran even have these new ballistic missiles to fire at the United States? Take a listen. The president holds nothing back. It's absolutely true. The media doesn't even try to say he's wrong on this one. It's just fact. Take a listen.
The missiles fired last night at us and our allies were paid for with the funds made available by the last administration. The regime also greatly tightened the reins on their own country, even recently killing 1,500 people at the many protests that are taking place all throughout Iran.
Let me go to Skip Ash on that. I mean, Skip, it's a true statement. Both statements are true. One, by giving Iran all those frozen assets, the billions of dollars. It allowed them to re-up their – they didn't use it on helping their people or even their domestic economy. They just used it to rebuild their military, specifically the Revolutionary Guard, and start these international, outside their borders, adventurism, if you will, to destabilize the Middle East and try and become this power within the Middle East, all after the nuclear deal was signed and the money was delivered to Iran.
Absolutely. The president of the United States under the previous administration was played big time by the Iranians. He got virtually nothing except a signed piece of paper, and he came back like in the time of appeasement, coming back to Britain saying, we have peace in our time. That was nonsense then. It's nonsense now. The money that we transferred through the Obama administration has been the money that has been distributed to the terrorist groups throughout the Middle East and elsewhere in the world, and has been used to enhance this missile development capability, as well as getting nuclear weapons and nuclear warheads ready for those missiles.
And, you know, I say, it is our headline right now. It's President Trump, Obama administration paid for Iran's missiles. It's fact. It also is a regime that kills thousands of its own people. And the leader of those killings, the putting down of any kind of revolts, of protest against the regime in Iran, is now dead. Qassem Soleimani. Because President Trump ordered him to be killed, taken off the battlefield. He wasn't supposed to leave Iran. There was a UN Security Council resolution barring him from leaving Iran, yet he was traveling, going to places like Syria, making no secret about it, going to places like Baghdad, putting out propaganda videos about it. So he stepped off that plane in Baghdad. He is no more. And the Iranian response, we killed their top guy. They kind of shoot like warning flares so they can show some videos in their own country to their fake supporters. They're not getting any more billions from the U.S. They're isolated from the world. Do you hear any outrage from any countries in the world that Qassem Soleimani is dead? Russia upset? China? Any Gulf states? Anybody? Anybody shedding tears for him? No. Absolutely not. We'll take your calls when we come back, 1-800-684-3110. But the president, with a measured and the correct response, not rushing to fire back at Iran and take out more Iranian assets, but saying hopefully this is Iran kind of calming down. We'll take your calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. And first, always, the best news to report is that in this Iranian attack with ballistic missiles on two U.S. bases in Iraq in response to our killing of Qassem Soleimani, no U.S. soldiers or individuals were harmed, killed, injured. Minimal damage to the bases. No Iraqis that work with us were killed. No one was killed or injured. And minimal damage was done. So this was Iran trying to play to its domestic audience. In Iranian media, they're claiming there's all these American deaths. I don't know how long they think that propaganda will last before the truth gets out, that their regime wasted 15 of their ballistic missiles to try and promulgate some fake news inside their own country. After we did something very real, killed Qassem Soleimani, the nation's, I think the world's number one terrorist, because there was no one else like him, no one else who had a state sponsoring him the same way, and the kind of the apparatuses of a state. I mean, with 20,000 strong just in his force, the Quds force, inside the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, and basically responsible for their activities outside of Iran, and also putting down any kind of anti-regime activities inside Iran. So the response was, you know, again, that what would Iran do? Well, when this first broke, hey, it was serious. As all Americans, I'm sure, kind of held their breath for a moment. I mean, Thana, I'm guessing you saw that breaking news. You said, "Oh no, this could be the start of a war." Because if those missiles had killed U.S. troops, we would have been responding probably within hours, probably long way before this speech occurred, with serious firepower. We're ready to respond with serious firepower. I mean, we've sent the necessary troops and ammunitions there, and we've got the right fleets there, the right air force, the right aircraft there as well. But instead, then we learned hours later that, in a sense, these were kind of, again, I'd say that they were missiles fired for propaganda purposes only.
Yeah, I mean, the ball was in Iran's court at that point, Jordan, and you heard it from the president before and after this most recent response by Iran, that if they do again target American personnel, there will be a response. And look, I think the Iranians believe him now. Jordan, look, I thought it was really important, though, that the president came out and the very first words he gave, before even, you know, greeting the American people, he said, as long as I'm president, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon. I mean, it's pretty clear, Jordan, that his preference here is restraint. He does not want to escalate. But to your point, he has already showed that if American personnel are targeted, he will respond. And Jordan, if Iran changes their mind, which it looks like at this point they're not, but if they change their mind and if they again decide to target Americans, I think they know without a doubt that this president will respond. And look, if you want to achieve a desired result, you have to have both those things, Jordan, a willingness to pursue peace, but an absolute resolve to respond with strength if it is necessary.
Yeah, I mean, take a listen. This is President Trump. Now, he didn't say hello, good morning, good afternoon, or this or that. He came out with a clear message that if you only took away one thing from this, it was a clear message that so long as I am president, this is what will occur. Here we go.
As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon.
And let me go to Skip Ash on that, because Skip, under the previous administration, that wasn't the case. I mean, there is, and under a future administration, that may not be the case, including soon, if one of the president's rivals on the Democrat side of the aisle was to defeat him in 2020, they would not necessarily take that position so strongly that they will stop Iran from having a nuclear weapon. They may claim to put measures in place and agreements in place that slow down Iran having a nuclear weapon, but they would never be so bold as to say they will not have one so long as I am president.
Absolutely. I think this president is unique in the sense that he has demonstrated backbone. He has spoken to them in language they understand. When they do things against us, he actually has drawn red lines, and he acts when those red lines are breached. And I think the fact that he has said there'll be no nuclear weapon, they have to be able to take that to the bank in the sense that he's willing to do whatever is necessary to make sure that this regime, which destabilizes the entire Middle East and seeks to destabilize the rest of the world with their Shia philosophy and their Shia religious beliefs, cannot be allowed to have a weapon that would actually allow them to accomplish that.
Now, again, you know, we're hearing big move. We got a call on this, too. Let's go to Michelle in California on line one. Because we've also heard this from the Iranian president. Their real goal here is to get the U.S. out of the region. Well, I mean, surprise, surprise, Iran. Whether we're on land in Iraq or whether it's by sea or whether it's Israel and the bases that we've got in, by the way, not just Iraq, but in places like Qatar and Saudi Arabia, you ain't ever getting us out of the region. We're always going to be right at your doorstep. So long as that regime is there, and probably longer than that regime exists, we will be there ready to take you out at a moment's notice at any time. And that's not just because of bases in Baghdad. That's because of bases we have in other countries. But I want to answer Michelle's question, because this did happen in Iraq in their parliament. Line number one. Hey, Michelle, welcome to JSecu Live.
Hey, Jordan. Thank you so much for taking my call and all that you guys do.
Thank you.
Yes, I was wondering if you and your team could comment on the Iraqi parliament met, and they basically dismissed the U.S. and their troops from their region. So can you explain why we're staying?
Yeah, I mean, Skip, there was this vote in the Iraqi parliament to expel U.S. troops. I don't know if it was more like a resolution like we have in our country where they're not really binding. But the U.S. is saying, yeah, okay, you want to do that? Here's the bill. Basically, for what we've done for you. And we have not seen any action yet from Iraq's leaders, who, by the way, are in place and safely there only because of the U.S., even their Shia leaders. The only reason Iran is not running Iraq completely as a proxy of Iran is, one, we took out Qassem Soleimani, and two, the U.S. presence there. But Skip, ultimately, this is a president who said he wants to get out of Iraq. He doesn't want to stay there forever. He doesn't want to have to keep building up U.S. troops there, but he's gonna be there so long it's in our interest. He said yesterday, even before the press conference, when he was just speaking to reporters at the White House, he said yesterday, Skip, that this is not the right time, even though I'd like to get out of Iraq. It's just not the right time for America. He's not saying it's not the right time for Iraqis or this or that, but for American interests, it's not the right time. And Iraq has no way of getting us out.
That's correct. The parliament did not have a quorum because the Sunni Muslims and the Kurds walked out. So
yeah.
The people in there were people that were supported by the Shiites, and the Shiites are the ones supported by Iran. So this was sort of a group of people just voicing the view of Iran. And Iran wants us out. There's no doubt about that. So they got up there and said, okay, we want you out. So right off the bat, it's a meaningless vote.
Right.
It's used for propaganda purposes, but it has no legal bearing, and
so
the president
important.
Of the United States will get out when he desires to get out.
So important. I think that, you know, we may need to repeat that again when we come back from this break, because I think people are very confused on that vote that occurred in Iraq, that it wasn't even, didn't have a quorum, didn't even meet normal legislative standards to be, even a binding resolution, like something we hoped to happen. It wasn't even like that. It was just a vote by those who agree with Iran that are already inside Iraq, that element that has always been there. We'll be back, second half hour of JSecu Live. Keep sharing the broadcast. Keep calling 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., JSecu Live.
For far too long, all the way back to 1979, to be exact, nations have tolerated Iran's destructive and destabilizing behavior in the Middle East and beyond. Those days are over.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Those days are over. And all you need as proof of that is Qassem Soleimani's severed hand, which was the way we identified him as being killed in that attack that killed him and the leader of Iranian-backed Iraqi Hezbollah group that he was putting in place under this PMU Shia alliance of militant groups. Is when President Trump says, we are not going to allow this. We're not going to tolerate this anymore. Just look at the severed hand of Qassem Soleimani. And look at the weak response by Iran, to be quite honest with you. I don't like the fact they're shooting ballistic missiles at our troops or bases. But the fact that it appears that they intentionally did so that no one would get hurt or injured or killed, just shows you how weak Iran is right now. I mean, I will go right to Skip Ash. Skip, that to me shows me that to someone so important to this regime's kind of their power in a sense, because Qassem Soleimani kept the terror high, he kept the people scared inside Iran, he kept Iran's enemies scared because he was so ruthless, and he was spreading this kind of terror around the world. We kill him, and their response is basically warning shots.
Well, I think that's right. We have to remember the Iranian regime has been lying to its own people for many years. They're touting their conventional forces all the time, but their conventional forces cannot live up and cannot meet head-to-head the U.S. conventional forces. So what their strength actually is in asymmetric warfare, using proxies, fighting us indirectly, and causing mayhem in the Middle East indirectly through Hezbollah, through Hamas, through other organizations throughout the Middle East. So we have taken out the person who was sort of the puppet master of all those organizations. So now we have to figure out when the dust settles, how they're going to be able to reconstitute those. The real threat for us in that area is not the conventional forces of Iran, although our conventional forces is the real threat to them. Nonetheless, they fired a conventional force just to reinforce their own people, the propaganda they've been making, that yes, they are an equal to us in the international military realm, and therefore they fired the equivalent of what we could fire back at them. The fact that they either intentionally missed or undersized their warheads on these missiles is an indication they really didn't want to get the president's attention. They wanted to make a statement to their own people and lie about it with all the casualties they're claiming. But at the same time, they wanted to send a message to the president that this is for our own internal consumption, not an indication of bellicosity against you. And I think they may have achieved that.
And one other issue I wanted you to address, Skip, was this vote, because I think it was important. We just talked about it again in the first, the end of our first half hour, just to address it right out of the bat in the second half hour of the show. There was a vote in the Iraqi parliament that said, the U.S. should be out. And that's how the media kind of has portrayed this vote, as if it was like an official vote. That wasn't the case.
No, it wasn't the case at all. What it was was the group of Shiite members of the parliament getting together and voting that way, many of whom were threatened to vote a certain way. The Sunni members of the parliament and the Kurdish members of the parliament all left, so they were not involved at all. And therefore, the parliament didn't even have a quorum. So they had no legal standing to make any decisions. And I would say further, they don't have the authority to make that decision even if everybody was there. So this is much ado about nothing.
So folks, again, we're going to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It does show you the fact that we're having to deal with this. We'll play it when we come back. Just how foolish the Obama administration and their advisors, those Ben Rhodes types of advisors, the National Security Council, foolish people, not very good at what they did. That's why we've been having to deal with this right now. But thankfully, we have a president who's gotten rid of Iran's top terrorist, Qassem Soleimani, dead, identified by his severed hand and the ring he wore. We'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
I don't often say it on air, but a tremendous amount of people have been tuning into this on Facebook and Periscope, and I know that many more people than that are listening on their radio stations and on Sirius XM. But I want to say to that Facebook and Periscope audience, while we're on the air to everybody, click that share button right now, because a tremendous amount of people are getting the truth, the facts. Listen to President Trump here. Because I think this, to me, is at the heart of everything President Trump is having to deal with when it comes to Iran, and how he's shown, one, a lot of restraint. A lot of restraint. Honest to God, more restraint than I could have in dealing with Iran. But also, when he has taken decisive action, it has been fatal to the Iranian regime. I mean, the kind of actions he takes, if we're going to take an action, it is going to be one that will send shockwaves through Iranian history, like the killing of Qassem Soleimani. Not just firing back at a couple drone missiles, rockets, you know, not things like that. No, we're going to take out your top terrorist. Your top strategist for terror around the world. We're going to kill him. We're going to kill him in Baghdad. And we're going to tell everybody we ordered it. And I make no mistake about who ordered it to, our president. But take a listen, because this is the truth. Remember Iran pre-nuclear deal and Iran post-nuclear deal. Do you remember Iran having this kind of... do you remember them, you know, seizing U.S. troops like they did with the Obama administration, making them kneel down, taking them to Iranian territory, blowing up oil tankers, pre-nuclear deal? No, it was when the world bowed down to Iran and thought that they could come up with this agreement that allowed Iran to have a nuclear program, that the world became a less safe place to live in because of Iranian terror. Take a listen to President Trump, Bite 26.
Iran's hostilities substantially increased after the foolish Iran nuclear deal was signed in 2013, and they were given $150 billion, not to mention $1.8 billion in cash. Instead of saying thank you to the United States, they chanted death to America. In fact, they chanted death to America the day the agreement was signed.
Yeah, because they thought, I'll go to Skip Ashley. Skip, they thought this was wonderful. Here we go. Iranian Shia terror adventurism begins. And that's exactly what happened.
That's right. They read the West exactly right. The West so wanted an agreement that they thought would bring peace, and therefore the West could no longer have to bother with them, that the West was not willing to put the investment back into it to rein them back in. So once we had made the agreement, once the West had made the agreement, the Iranians knew that they had freedom of movement and they had cash. So they had a lot of money to spend, and they went about spending it to fulfill their goals, and their goals are disruption of the Middle East, disruption of the oil flow, trying to establish their own hegemony throughout the entire Middle East. And what that has done is caused all sorts of problems worldwide. So it was the foolishness of our government and the governments that were part of that agreement that have let the genie out of the bottle, so to speak, and allowed the Iranians to cause the mischief they have in the last few years.
I want to get a Michael's call from Ohio on line three. Michael, thanks for calling in to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. You guys are talking about this just being propaganda for their own people. My question is, what if this isn't, what if it's more than that? What if it's a test run to see what our anti-missile capabilities in the region actually is? Maybe they're just sticking their toe in the water.
I get that idea. I get that idea, Michael. If they wanted to kill Americans, they could have. The truth is, we're in their region of the world. We have superior technology, but they could kill Americans. They have been killing Americans. Qassem Soleimani responsible for the death of over 600 U.S. troops. And recently, the death of a U.S. contractor and injuries of other Americans, and was planning another attack. So, you know, Skip, I think that if Iran wanted to kill Americans, I mean, we're at a point where if they're willing to take the risk of what that means, then they now know what that means. You kill an American contractor, you storm our embassy. By the way, it doesn't become like a Benghazi situation, but you start burning our building down, and we will kill your top military guy. We'll take your top leaders from your military out. Not a politician, by the way, military, uniformed. We'll take them out. Now Iran knows what is on the table when they take these actions. I think that was the truth, and that's why we can say to an extent that this was kind of like a propaganda move by Iran, because truth is, they could have done a lot more damage to Americans if they wanted to, and they probably could have killed Americans if they wanted to.
Moreover, I think with respect to the gentleman's comment about testing our anti-missile systems, we didn't have them deployed at either of the attacked areas. I think that may have been part of the reason they chose that, and they also had intelligence on the ground that was the case.
Yeah.
But we can expect them to try to prod here and there. Much of what their Navy does through the Straits of Hormuz and everything else is an attempt to determine what capabilities the United States has and is willing to utilize as we sail through those constricted waters. So I think they're going to continue to prod and see what we're doing. But we share anti-missile systems with the Israelis. So we have their systems, too, although we didn't have them at these two targets. So I don't think they got any intelligence from that, other than the fact that they knew that there was nothing there of that caliber.
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Julie's call line, too. Julie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live, calling from California. You're on the air.
Hi, Jordan.
Hey, Julie.
What the president said that he's never going to let Iran get a nuclear weapon. Do you have any ideas, or does Skip have, about how we can actually stop them, because we were too late to stop North Korea?
Well, I think there's a number of ways. One, there's been questions even in the North Korean system and how much of that has been because of covert activities about why they have such trouble with their deliverability capability. That they never quite get that right. You know, the bombs fall out of the sky, the missiles kind of fall out of the sky. And so, but second, so there is a covert angle, Skip, to preventing. People remember the Stuxnet virus that basically disabled Iran's entire nuclear program and took it. They had to rebuild it from scratch. So there are technological ways to go about with never firing an actual shot. And of course, there are military actions that can be put in place, and also economic sanctions, which make it impossible for Iran to have the resources necessary to build the warheads, to do the research, to have a deliverable nuclear weapon.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I would say this. I think the president's declaration is correct, and he's going to do everything he can to stop that. Can he stop everything that happens around the world? No. There is a possibility that the Iranians could at some point get one of these weapons.
Yeah.
In my view, more than likely, it's going to be purchasing it
right.
from a nuclear power that already has
right,
one.
Not actually creating it.
That's correct, and which could either be North Korea or Pakistan or something like that, countries that would be willing to pass on that technology. The problem is if you're in the neighborhood like Pakistan is, or if you're in the neighborhood like Russia is and everything else, do you really want an unstable regime to have a nuclear weapon when you never know where they're going to use it? And politics there changes quickly. You can be a friend today and an enemy tomorrow. So it seems to me that even though they're not cooperating with us openly, I think there are nations over there that have the same goal that we do. They won't say it out loud, but I think they would agree with us that it would be catastrophic for the Iranians to have one of those weapons, especially with the unstable governments they have now.
Dan, I think there's got to be some Democrats pretty embarrassed. Maybe they're just keeping their mouths shut now, not going to rush to cameras, who in these last couple of days, since Qassem Soleimani was killed, we're making these remarks like, oh, Iran is going to, you know, this is going to be like World War III. And yet, obviously, the president, the Joint Chiefs who joined him today in his remarks is, you know, I don't know if we have an image I can put up for Facebook and Periscope, but it wasn't like him just standing there by himself. The Secretary of Defense are seeing this as a moment where things can kind of calm down, if you will, and that things can. And so is the economy, de-escalate. It's the exact opposite of what the Democrats hoped. I know that sounds bad, but that's what they hoped. They hoped that it would somehow, you know, this move would backfire for political purposes. I think they've gotten that much hatred to their level of President Trump. But two, it was also, that is their policy positions. Is it, oh, if you take these kind of moves against these scary sounding regimes, they're going to do something really scary and horrible back. The truth is, a lot of the time with Iran, it's bluster. And the people that they hurt the most, they kill the most, are their own people. But then your reaction.
The truth of the matter, Jordan, is that their preferred policy position was the Iranian deal that gave them the resources to increase these provocations. So, look, they know that denying Iran access to the U.S. banking system is the way to increase the pressure and draw down the hostilities. They know what their plan did not work, Jordan. So their only course of action today is relative silence.
Yeah, that is what you're seeing. A media that didn't get what they wanted from the president in this speech. That didn't get the, we're going to war. That doesn't mean we won't be responding in other ways, by the way, Iran. You know, check your computers, right? Check your viruses. I'm sure the U.S. companies are doing the same thing. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
A little update for you, then we're going to go back to Iran and the situation there. And I think thankfully the no U.S. troops were harmed or killed in what is seen really by Iran was propaganda for its own people's sake to scare its own people. They see we're still strong after the U.S. easily killed our top terror leader, our top military strategist, the one who was made us kind of a world player in some sense, at least regional player or feared, Qassem Soleimani, and the U.S. just took him out. But I do want to get into some impeachment news as well, because there is news there, as there is a growing chorus, small but growing, of senior Democrats and independents even who caucus with Democrats in the U.S. Senate saying, okay, time to send the articles of impeachment over, time for us to begin our trial. And then one of the more liberal members and senior members of the Democrat Party in the U.S. Senate has just joined that chorus.
Yeah, it's Senator Dianne Feinstein, Jordan. It looks like it's reported that she's now saying if we're going to do it, she, meaning Speaker Pelosi, should just send them over. I don't see what good a delay does. Jordan, keep in mind that follows in the footsteps of Senator Angus King, who is technically an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats, who said essentially the same thing last night. Chris Murphy essentially said the same thing. Look, let's get on it. Let's hold votes after we're inside it. Senator Schumer even said, Jordan, I trust Speaker Pelosi to do the right thing. There's a lot been accomplished already. She'll make the right decision. Jordan, I can translate that for you. That is, okay, I know Speaker Pelosi's running out of time. I know she's going to send it over. I'm going to get out in front of her. So all of that tells me, Jordan, that Leader McConnell called Speaker Pelosi's bluff. He says, look, I'm setting the rules. I have the votes. I'll announce them when I'm ready. Now, Speaker Pelosi might say, okay, now that I know the rules, that's what I wanted. But essentially what happened, Jordan, is Leader McConnell declined to play by her rules.
Right.
He's going to play by his rules, and Speaker Pelosi's hand is now being
forced. As a reminder, what she wanted was witnesses at the start of the trial. That's what Schumer said we would not start, that Pelosi wouldn't send them over until we got witnesses at the start of the trial. And then Mitch McConnell came out and said, I've got the votes. In the Senate said, we will not have any witnesses at the start of the trial, and then we'll have votes to decide, just like other impeachments, trials. We'll have votes to decide if we want to after the trial, after the first stage of the trial. If we feel like we need to have some certain witnesses, we'll have a vote on that. But we're not going to start off in the Senate trial with witnesses. And here I have the votes for it. And by the way, Mitt Romney, who was kind of saying, you know, wanted people like Bolton to testify, who made the subpoena talk. Mitt Romney said he would be voting in favor of that, too. So basically, he's got all Republicans in support of that. And so now what? Nancy Pelosi's going to say, yes, she knows the rules. The rules are exactly what we thought they should be from the beginning. And the Democrats got nothing except for them. This impeachment idea just becoming less and less popular, more and more ridiculous over time. Take a listen. I mean, this is Angus King. He calls himself an independent, but he caucuses with the Democrats. So he counts as like a Democrat vote, bite number 7.
I think it is time for the Speaker to send the articles over. I don't think her holding them puts any particular pressure on Mitch McConnell.
And that, Than, to me, was the key there. I just wanted to update people politically. Is this pressure that Nancy Pelosi wanted to put on, she learned quickly there are two branches in Congress, and that when one is controlled by Republicans, And a strategist like Mitch McConnell, a very tough politician and seasoned politician, and one who sometimes Republicans get frustrated with. But honestly, when he's in charge and he's got his mind set on it, he's going to put it together, and it's going to end up bad for you if you try to run the Senate from the House of Representatives.
Jordan, I chuckled just a little bit when you played that sound from Senator King, because that line at the end where he says, I don't think her holding them puts any particular pressure on Mitch McConnell. Jordan, that's almost verbatim what Leader McConnell said 2 weeks ago. How is it putting pressure on me that you're not going to send me something I don't want in the first place? I mean, if I had my druthers, I would never receive these. I would never conduct a trial. This would all go away. So you holding them back is actually doing me a favor. Here, I'm going to confirm 13 judges this week while you withhold this thing that I don't want. So, Jordan, there was never any leverage. Leader McConnell said it from the very beginning. And now it's the members of Leader Schumer's own caucus who are echoing the same thing. Look, the gig is up. The time is up for Speaker Pelosi. Those articles are going to be in the Senate very soon.
Let's go to Tony. Now we're going to get back to Iran and what happened there. This is the update. That was the update. I know some of you may ask, where's Jay? Second, where's my dad, our chief counsel, the namesake of this broadcast? As Stan said, this trial could be happening very soon. As the lead and longest serving member of the president's legal team, I think you can all figure out without me having to even tell you directly what my dad's preparing for. But I can tell you directly what he's preparing for is this trial beginning in the U.S. Senate. Don't know exactly what date. Don't know exactly when. Congress can do weird, funny things. But it's preparation time now. Especially, I think you have Dianne Feinstein jumping in that mix. It's really time to prepare. But let's go to Tony's call. I want to get back to the Iran issue. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about that. As the trial goes on, you're going to get great analysis from us and when it actually begins and when the articles actually get delivered. Still hasn't none of that has happened yet, but we're starting to see a change. When you hear Dianne Feinstein say, "Send it over, Nancy, get it over to us. Enough, you're hurting us. You're making things worse for Democrats." Tony's calling from New Jersey on line one. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
How you doing, Jordan? Thanks again for getting me on.
Sure.
My passions are running very deep right now, and I just hope and pray to all my fellow American voters. With this last incident with Iran, just think about how the Mockingbird media twists everything around or just doesn't cover a story. When President Obama gave $150 billion to this country and not a peep from the mainstream media, and why not? And now I'm to the point where I would say thank God for your show and all the other conservative outlets. And let's all get down to Wildwood Convention Center January 28th. President Trump is coming and having a rally in New Jersey.
And that shows it to me too, Tony. For those of you who are listening in New Jersey, and we're a broadcast all over the country, but those of you listening in New Jersey, the president's coming everywhere. The House is on the line. But I do think I want to finish with Skip with your kind of final comments on this. Listen, there will be more Iranian aggression pointed at the U.S. There may be already some ongoing as we speak right now, cyber attacks, other attacks, even more violent than what we saw last night. But what we are seeing is a president willing to de-escalate the conflict and talk directly to Iran, as he has been with leaders like Kim Jong-un. And if things don't go well, he's been ready to ratchet up the pressure again.
Absolutely. I think that he is probably sending a message under the radar back to Iran to say, not only am I coming after you, but if one of your proxies goes after our forces, I'm putting it at your doorstep, and you're going to be the one who pays the price because you're paying their bills, you're giving them guidance, and you're the one telling them to attack us, so you're the one that we're going to respond to.
Yeah, so I mean, if you're Qassem Soleimani, he's gone now. So if you're anywhere in that kind of realm of people in Iran, you take one of these actions, well, probably you're gone next. I mean, I think the president prefers those kind of responses, it appears, than to striking an entire military base and taking out 300 conscripted Iranian soldiers if he doesn't have to. Not that he wouldn't, but if he doesn't have to. We will continue to cover this. See if anything shifts on the impeachment articles now that Dianne Feinstein, a senior Democrat, is out saying, Nancy, send the articles over. We'll cover it all tomorrow on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out a lot of information up at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.